Chapter 2.
With the breakdown of the medieval system, the gods of chaos, lunacy, and bad taste gained ascendancy.
Ignatius was writing in one of his big chief tablets.
After a period in which the Western world had enjoyed order, tranquility, unity, and oneness with its true God and Trinity, there appeared winds of change which spelled evil days ahead. An ill wind blows no one good. The luminous years of Abelard, Thomas R. Becket, and Everyman dimmed into dross. Fortuna's wheel had turned on humanity, crushing its collarbone, smashing its skull, twisting its torso, puncturing its pelvis, sorrowing its soul. Having once been so high, humanity fell so low. What had once been dedicated to the soul was now dedicated to the cell.
That is rather fine, Ignatius said to himself and continued his hurried writing.
Merchants and charlatans gained control of Europe, calling their insidious gospel the Enlightenment. The day of the locust was at hand, but from the ashes of humanity there arose no phoenix. The humble and pious peasant, Piers Plowman, went to town to sell his children to the lords of the new order for purposes that we may call questionable at best. See Riley, Ignatius J., Blood on Their Hands, The Crime of It All, a study of some selected abuses in 16th century Europe, a monograph, 2 pages, 1950, Rare Book Room, Left Corridor, 3rd floor, Howard Tilton Memorial Library, Tulane University, New Orleans 18, Louisiana. Note, I mailed this singular monograph to the library as a gift. However, I am not really certain that it was ever accepted. It may well have been thrown out because it was only written in pencil on tablet paper. The gyre had widened. The great chain of being had snapped like so many paper clips strung together by some drooling idiot. Death, destruction, anarchy, progress, ambition, and self-improvement were to be Piers' new fate. And a vicious fate it was to be. Now he was faced with the perversion of having to go to work.
His vision of history temporarily fading, Ignatius sketched a noose at the bottom of the page. Then he drew a revolver and a little box on which he neatly printed, Gas Chamber. He scratched the side of his pencil back and forth across the paper and labeled this Apocalypse. When he had finished decorating the page, he threw the tablet to the floor among many others that were scattered about. This had been a very productive morning, he thought. He had not accomplished so much in weeks. Looking at the dozens of big chief tablets that made a rug of Indian headdresses around the bed, Ignatius thought smugly that on their yellowed pages and wide ruled lines were the seeds of a magnificent study in comparative history. Very disordered, of course, but one day he would assume the task of editing these fragments of his mentality into a jigsaw puzzle of a very grand design. The completed puzzle would show literate men the disaster course that history had been taking for the past 4 centuries. In the 5 years that he had dedicated to this work, he had produced an average of only 6 paragraphs monthly. He could not even remember what he had written in some of the tablets, and he realized that several were filled principally with doodling. However, Ignatius thought calmly, Rome was not built in a day.